write the subject on the board this morning. I've written "Cry the More." Have you ever heard anybody in distress cry out for help that weren't children? Have you ever heard adults cry out for help because they were in deep distress? I remember it was over 20 years ago now. I came to Louisiana on a business trip and was actually traveling along Interstate 20, and there was a motorcycle rider directly in front of me. I was directly behind him. And just before we got to the Monroe exit, he went to take off the interstate, traveling interstate speed, and he crashed his motorcycle. He hit the grass first, got off the pavement, went back on the pavement, and he went off of his motorcycle and he bounced like a log across the asphalt. I watched him. Never seen anything like that happen before. And I was the first one to him. And before I ever got to him, I heard him. Before I ever knew what he looked like, and he didn't look very good when I got to him. Before I ever got to him, I heard him. And those sounds of distress stayed with me for a while. He didn't have a helmet on. He wasn't protected. He did survive. But he was in trouble. And he could not help himself. And he was crying out in distress. Have you ever wanted somebody to cry out more when they were in distress? Have you ever seen somebody in distress and thought, you know, I think it would be good for them to cry even more? Maybe this man that's laying on the road, if he'd just cry a little louder in distress. No, most of the time what we try to do is quiet down the cries. We try to do what we can sometimes to reduce the noise. Maybe not always eliminate what's causing the distress. But a lot of times what we try to do is first move to help get the noise taken care of and calmed down. Well, this morning I'd like to take a detour from the norm just for a little bit and encourage you this morning to cry out even more as adults in those areas of your life where you feel unprotected and where you are in great distress. It's a simple but important message today that I think we've touched on maybe some time ago. I'd like to look at it again. I'd like to read a few verses in the 20th chapter of Matthew. And we'll start in the 30th verse. Matthew 20 and 30 says, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried out the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' And Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What will ye that I shall do unto you?' And they said unto him, 'Lord, that our eyes be opened.' So Jesus had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and it says that they followed him." And I'd like to first notice here that there wasn't one blind man. There were two blind men. Both of these people had exactly the same affliction. They were both blind, They both had an affliction that nobody could do anything about. They couldn't get help for this type of affliction from anybody, just as we this morning have trials, we have temptations, sometimes we have needs in our bodies, we have difficult places that we face that nobody can do anything about. And I want to also say that most often there are challenges that are not unique to just me. Did you know that the challenges that you face are faced by other people too? I think sometimes the enemy would like us to think that we are carved out and have a cross to bear that no one else has ever bared or borne. And I want to encourage you this morning that our trials often are shared by more people than what we realize. There wasn't one blind man, there were two. And I have an idea that these two blind men didn't know each other from the very beginning. Somehow along the way, maybe they were able to come together. But the scripture says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." And I just want to encourage everyone today. Number one, you're not alone. Sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we feel like no one else can ever understand. Sometimes we feel like there are no solutions for us because it's things that no one else has ever faced. But most often people have faced what you're facing. And more than that, Jesus knows what you're facing. Here there were two blind men sitting by the wayside. And I thought about the fact that while they were blind, even though they had use of their arms and their legs, they couldn't fully use their arms and their legs because they couldn't see to go and do. Therefore, they were by the wayside. And I thought about us people that live life. Have you ever found yourself where you had the ability to talk, but you didn't know what to say? You could hear, but you didn't really know what to listen to or what should be listened to. Our arms, our legs, maybe they could function and we could walk, but we didn't know where to go. Sometimes literally, but oftentimes figuratively in life, there are things we can do, but we don't know how. We don't know what God wants from us. Sometimes we have places in our life, in our lives that are hurtful to us, that are mountains to us. And it almost seems like it paralyzes the other parts of our lives that otherwise would be able to function. You following me? And sometimes we can feel idled. Sometimes we can feel like we're by the wayside and we're unable to go and do like we would want. Sometimes we too feel like that we're not sure where our hope is. We're not sure what our purpose is. It seems cloudy. Sometimes we face situations that are dark. And we can't see through them. And it causes us to almost come to a standstill. But I want to take note of something here. Something happened that didn't happen every day. A circumstance of hope presented itself with a capacity for answers and healing that didn't always come by And that was that Jesus Christ made himself available to these men. Jesus Christ passed by this day in front of these men. A window of opportunity came by. An opportunity that didn't always come by for these men. Don't know if they'd ever seen Jesus before. They no doubt had heard about him. And when Jesus came by, the scripture tells us that the men quickly responded by crying out, "Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, thou son of David. Lord, would you have mercy on me?" They saw the opportunity that was coming by. Have you been there before? Where you're without hope, where you're having trouble. There's something that is bigger than you are, and hope presents itself. Maybe you're in a service and hope, an answer, the light starts to come on, and with hope you reach out and you call out, hopefully quickly, and you reach to get a hold of that thing that would help be the answer to your need. These men saw that opportunity, and it said they quickly. It didn't say they waited till he had passed by and they had to holler to get his attention because he was so far away. But it said they quickly called out, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of David, have mercy on us." Did you know that Jesus has passed by our way this past week during our meeting? The Lord was good to come by and visit us. And I suspect that there are many in here this morning where there was something in your life that the Lord put His finger on. Something that maybe has caused you trouble or worry or anxiety or is a mountain. Or you heard something that I wish I had that. I wish that I had that joy. I wish I had that peace. There's something in you that maybe started to spring up with some hope. Monarch is out ahead. We're in a camp meeting season. And I want to encourage us this morning, don't let these opportunities pass us by without response. Our meeting isn't so far gone that you don't, if you didn't get the help that you needed, if there's something that's in your life that you need help with, encouragement, peace, victory, answers to some of the questions that are a burden to you, don't let these opportunities go by. Conviction, light, realization of truth is your friend. It's your friend. And the Lord is always there for us to call upon. But there's also times when the Lord is so good to pass by our way, real close. He comes by without maybe us even asking Him to. Maybe things in our lives that we weren't even really going to bring up. And yet, we hear the gospel or the Spirit of the Lord begins to work in us, and all of a sudden it just comes to light and gets put out on the table, and the Lord offers us a hope. Don't let those times go by. They're special. Call up on Him while He is near. I don't know if tomorrow is going to be a day that I'll live. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But when the Lord passes by with conviction and truth and light, now is the accepted time. Jesus chooses special times to pass by our way, and I don't want to let those times go past me without giving them my attention. Well, perhaps predictably the story wasn't over yet, because what I have just described has no doubt been the case for us many times in our lives with the things that we struggle with. This message could have been preached a long time ago, and you may have thought about, if you thought about anything while we were just talking about things in your life that are a trouble to you, maybe it's the same thing would have come across your mind a month ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, I don't know. That's life sometimes. That's the reality of where we live sometimes. There are some things in our lives that we carry for a long time. Sometimes it's by design of the Lord that we might learn before He gives us victory. Other times it's because just ourselves standing in the way. Other times there's other reasons. And I don't know if these men had had hope before of receiving sight to their eyes. But listen to what happened. And the multitude, let me back up and read again. They cried out saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Thou Son of David." They had hope. They were reaching out for what they thought might be the answer. Oh, but then the multitude rebuked them that they should hold their peace. How discouraging is that to be rebuked by a multitude? You know, maybe you're different than I am. It's hard enough to be rebuked by one person. Does anybody here like to be rebuked by one person? Nobody really likes to be rebuked. Sometimes we need rebuked. Sometimes it's exactly what we need. But it's not easy to be rebuked by a person. But how would you like to have a multitude of people rebuke you? How would you like the whole congregation, all heads to swivel, all eyes to focus in on you and vocally rebuke you all at the same time? Any volunteers for that? I don't think we'll have any volunteers. No, nobody that wants nice things in their life. That's not pleasant. But that's what happened to these men. They had hope. They thought there was the answer. They cried out. But the multitude rebuked them. And I feel like there are so many things that work against us to try to rebuke us as if it were a multitude. Like a tsunami. When we reach out and we feel like there's the answer. And then suddenly we feel rebuked by the multitudes, and we close our mouths and back up and retake our place on the side of the road to deal with whatever it was that we had hope for a few moments. No, a lot of times it's not other people that make up the multitude. Sometimes we feel the rebuke of the multitude of our past failures. We feel the rebuke of the multitude of our own weaknesses. We feel the rebuke of the multitude of our own inadequacy. We feel the rebuke of multitude of discouraging thoughts that the enemy puts in our minds. And it can overwhelm us. You've been there before. You failed. You tried. You just failed again. Just back up and get back up on your curb and be quiet and let the rest of the people have access to victory, to the Master, to Jesus Christ. You've tried it before. Get back up on the curb. Take your place. You failed over and over. You're weak. You can't do that. Doubts. Fears. Sometimes competing priorities. Sometimes we're rebuked by the call of God with all of the things that it seems like we have to do. We feel the Lord calling us to something, and then the floodgates open and all we can see and feel is, yeah, but this, yeah, but this, yeah, but this. And we get buckets full of yeah, buts. You ever faced all the yeah, buts? We probably all have. Suitcases full of yeah, buts. And we can become overwhelmed by that. Oh, but listen to what happened. But instead of doing the yeah, buts, they took that word B-U-T and they used it in 180 degrees the other direction. They were rebuked with all of the reasons why they should forget it. And they cried the more. They cried louder. They worked to drown out the tsunami, the multitude of voices that was drowning out what God wanted to do for them. And what happened? Jesus heard them and He stood still. Do you think Jesus only heard them because they cried the louder? Well, it was a good thing they cried louder, otherwise the Lord may not have heard what they had to say. I think Jesus heard them. But I also think He hears us too, and I think He wants us to want Him and look for Him and cry out for Him with all of our heart. I don't think the Lord wants us to stand whimpering on the curb and say, Lord, will You please help me? Don't get me wrong. Sometimes that's all we have is a whimper, and the Lord hears our whimpers. That's not my point. My point is, God wants us to be single-hearted with expectation. He wants us to look to Him and recognize, You are my only hope. He wants us to get to a place where we have a sense of urgency that my hope is nowhere else. I've tried everything else. I can't find the answer anywhere else. And Lord, here You've passed by my way. Lord, please have mercy on me. And He wants us to recognize that He wants to do something for us. He wants our whole heart. He wants us to be encouraged to not allow the multitude of voices to drown out the inspiration that His Spirit put within us to call out in the first place. Because He has something that He wants to do for you. Are we going to let the multitude? Are we going to let the noise? Are we going to let all of the thoughts drown out our plea for help and our faith? Or are we going to allow our faith and our cry to drown out the voices and the multitudes of thoughts that would cause us to retake our curb? You know, I've thought about Abraham when he had to move to a strange land and then he had to took steps to offer up his son Isaac. Don't you know, he heard a lot of multitude of voices too. And Daniel and the three Hebrew children and other people that are just like you, and you know their first names, but maybe you don't know they faced what you faced. But they cried the more and they got victory. You say, well, why is it that we always bring up the three Hebrew children and Daniel and Abraham? I'm probably not going to be thrown in a fiery furnace, I hope. I hope I'm not thrown in a den of lions. I'm probably never going to sit at a king's table. Don't believe God's ever going to ask me to offer my son. So why is it that we refer back to them and say, well, I can't really relate to him, to them? It's because these were men that were challenged with some of the strongest things they could ever be challenged with in life, and they overcame. And
The things that they faced represent the types of things we too will face. We too will face, like Abraham, the Lord will come along and ask something of us that is very important to us that we don't want to let go of. But the Lord has strength for us if we will. There are going to be things that we bow down to in this life that we don't want to let go of. That we feel like if we let go of it, it's going to spell trouble for me. Like the three Hebrew children. And the Lord wants you to cry the more for His help and have faith that is not moved. Lord, we're not careful in this thing. We're going to cry out even more. We're going to make it known that we are going to serve You. We're going to push. We're going to press. We're going to do everything we can to get a hold of You. That's why we talk about these men of faith. We are going to come to decision points in our lives where we sit under the sound of the gospel, where we're in a quiet closet of prayer and the Spirit of the Lord comes and deals with us and prompts us and turns light on, and we're going to have to make a decision what we're going to do when immediately the multitudes of voices come in to try to squash whatever it is that the Lord just encouraged you with. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to be quieted? Or are we going to cry the more? I believe that God is still the same God of the three Hebrew children. He is the same God of Daniel. He is the same God that was the God of Abraham. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I feel like sometimes the reason we don't see more victory than we would like to see is because sometimes we step back to our place on the curb too quickly. We allow the distractions, all the things that this life has to offer, all the solutions, all the reasons, all the things to squash the multitudes of voices to cause us to lose faith, to give up, to give in. And then we step back and the Lord passes by. And we are the same that we were physically, emotionally, and yet you lose something when you let the Lord pass by without response. You lose something. Don't let the Lord pass you by without reacting. May God help us all today. What do we do when we're trying to talk with somebody and the noise level starts to increase? What do? We normally increase the volume of our voice. If you're listening to something and somebody else turns something up and you're really interested in it, we turn the volume up. Let's turn the volume up. Turn the volume up of your cry to the Lord. Be willing to seek Him with a greater sense of urgency. I will be found of you, He promises us, when we seek Him with all of our hearts. I think good thoughts towards you. I have thoughts of peace towards you. I have an expected end to give you. And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. When you're willing to turn the volume up. When you're willing to press forward. When you're willing not to allow the multitude of voices to cause you to step back. Jesus had to go a little farther too. Jesus was in the garden. Jesus faced something that was bigger than He was. His sweat was as great drops of blood. He could have given in and just made it so that He didn't have to go through it. But He went a little farther. And then He went a little farther. Wherever you are today, be willing to go a little farther. Be willing to cry a little louder. Be willing to cry the more. The multitudes and the voices do not have to have victory over us. They do not have to be the things that steal away the victory that God has for us. The need that you have in your life, the mountain that is before you, those places that you want to be able to overcome, the peace that you want to find but that you don't have, those do not have to define you in defeat. Those are opportunities for the Lord to be glorified in your victory.
if we'll be willing to cry the more. I'm thankful today that we serve a God who is willing to hear our call and to stand still and to turn towards me, to turn towards you and lock eyes with you in a very personal way and say, what is it that you would have me to do for you? And then be willing to help us. Let's not give up today, but let's go forward with courage, and the Lord will do His part. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.